23, chapter 23, Kisei to this week's parasha, 10:55. We're start top of the page. So we have a fascinating thing here, hopefully. Starts with Pasuk Beis. These are what Oscar says on the top here, forbidden and restricted marriages. People you're not allowed to marry, right? So it starts like this. A man who is physically, who does not have correct physical abilities to produce a child, because he is maimed, is a better word to use. A maimed man shall not enter the congregation of Hashem. He's not allowed to marry a regular Jew. Now, he can marry someone who's not considered a congregation of Hashem. So for example, a person with this physical defect would be permitted to marry a convert. Would be permitted to marry a convert. We cannot marry a regular person. This is a strange thing. Something to come around through there. I don't know what it is.
Crushed testicles, non-married Jewish woman.
Correct. A regular Jewish woman. Yeah. Now again, he is yes allowed to marry a convert and other types of people, but what's called the congregation of Hashem, he will not be allowed to marry. That's a physical blemish. It happens to be, just as a side, one of the great rabbis of the previous generation, what we would call a right-wing extreme rabbi, I don't like to say that, it's probably a convention, but Amram Bloy, and he married a convert, and his followers were like crushed, like because he was like from a legendary family and everything like that. And officially he claimed that he was maimed in, I think in 48, in the war, the Abominov near him or something like that. So he held he couldn't marry a regular person, he had to marry a convert. It created a lot of controversy. They're writing a book about it now. But anyway, the point is that someone who has this physical blemish cannot marry what we call a regular Jewish female girl. Simply put, probably because they can't produce regular children, but we're not going to all that. That is Pasuk 2. Pasuk 3. Which we will discuss at length tonight. Pasuk 3 is a mamzer. 10:55. A mamzer, same thing, shall not enter the congregation of Hashem. Even his 10th generation shall not enter the congregation of Hashem. A mamzer is a defect, not a physical defect at all. Say in the simplest case, it's a child born out of wedlock. Not born out of wedlock. No. A child from an adulterous affair, or from a sibling, like that type of incestuous relationship. The child, who obviously we believe did nothing wrong by himself, but is born that way, that is called a mamzer disqualification. And he's not allowed to marry a regular Jewish girl. Again, he can, yes, marry a female with the same blemish. And yes, he can marry probably a convert, but they're limited in who they can marry. What's called this type of child. A mamzer shall not enter the congregation.
Can you ever get out of the status of mamzerus?
We're going to...
After 10 generations.
Let's do both. So first, like this. A disqualification like mamzer is carried on to the next generation, if either parent is that disqualification. So if a father or a mother, you don't need both, is a mamzer, the child is a mamzer. And that gets carried on and carried on and carried on. And even 10 generations later, the child has that label, status, whatever the word is, and it goes on, and they cannot marry a regular person.
But they're not allowed to marry anybody else.
A mamzer.
What do you mean?
You just said a mamzer can only marry a mamzer. So they'll always be stuck.
Mamzer can marry a mamzer.
Well, so wait. Oh, first, they can marry a convert. But yes, but you're saying... They're limited. They're still limited. Correct. No, but if they marry a convert, the child's a mamzer. One parent mamzer carries
so always be
so always be labeled a mamzer. So one of the ways they do it, how does a mamzer break it? Mishnah Kedushin, I wasn't going to discuss tonight. If I remember correctly, 69a, Mishnah Kedushin says, Reb Tarfon, Tarfon, famously said that he has a way to stop the status. How does he stop the status? What he does is the person sells himself as a slave, or Besdin sells him as a slave, not about the details. And when a person is labeled status, I don't know the word as a slave, he can marry a slave woman. A slave woman when it takes over the genetics of a child. So when a man has a child with a slave woman, genetically it's his son, but halachically it's not a son. Becomes her son only. As a simple example, if a Jew has relations with a non-Jewish girl, that child is 100% non-Jewish. Genetically it might be a father. Halachically that's not the father. And reverse. A Jewish girl with a non-Jewish man, the child is 100% Jewish. So the father's out of the picture. Here you have when a person has relations with a slave woman, that child is 100% slave. The freedom of the man is irrelevant. So a single regular Jewish man has relations with this woman, slave woman, child is 100% slave. If a mamzer, one from Tarfon, marries one of these women, the child becomes a slave 100%. The slave child doesn't carry that mamzer genetic.
Brilliant, because slaves can be freed.
Slaves, and therefore you have the child born a slave, then you free the child free the child, and he becomes a regular Jew. Now, it's not the father's child in halacha, but the status can be obliterate.
It's huge. Why is it just Rabbi Tarfon? Why isn't that normative halacha?
Maybe we'll even discuss more of it next week. It happens to be a halacha. We once had Stephen on there. Years ago, we discussed this. If nowadays there was a mamza in the 1980s. Now, in American law, you cannot own a slave today. Cannot own a slave today, American law. So there was a mamzer, from what I understood, that they knew that the child was a mamzer, and he didn't want to be like this, so he himself was messed up for marriage. I mean, he can marry a convert, but he didn't want to carry on this genetic gene.
He can marry a convert or a mamzer.
Right, but that's limited. And you don't want to carry on the defect, the disqualification, better word, for the children. So he went to Rav Moshe Weiss, and Rav Moshe said, Rav Tarfon Zeitzer, sell yourself as a slave. But the guy told, wait a second, there's no such thing in American law. If you could sign a contract, it doesn't work in American law. You cannot be a slave in American law. In 1865, that's it. They abolish slavery to a point where you can't volunteer as a slave. You might think you're a slave to your wife, but not in American law. In American law, you're not a slave to your wife. So they went to Moshe. At the time, Moshe died in the 80s. His idea, you said, you're almost as good. But Moshe said, yes, you know, first of all, I'll tell you two things. You can go to South Africa. Because in South Africa in the 1980s, there was legal slavery in South Africa. So Moshe told the person, but by the way, you should know, Moshe always had huge shoulders. So Moshe said, it doesn't make a difference. You're good in America also. So it's America, but you know, it doesn't work as in practicality. I can't be a slave because the law doesn't allow it. So what happens here? Are we going Jewish law against non-Jewish law? And Moshe with his big shoulders said, no. The law in America not to have slaves was what? To protect the slave. Want to protect the human beings. But in this case, it's better for you to be a slave. So, of course, the law doesn't apply. The law is here to protect you. But the protection for you, you don't want that protection. That's a negative protection. You want to be a slave to help your children out. So, of course, even in American law, it doesn't apply. But we actually didn't go to the Supreme Court and have this case. Will it work? Well, he said, don't worry about it. You, just like in Jewish law, I could technically marry my wife without getting civilly married. American people do it today. Who cares? But does it work? I don't know. American law doesn't work, but in Jewish law, I'm married. He said, don't worry about it. Because even in American law, it officially works. Even though America would say it doesn't work. Because it works for you, and then we can do it. So again, we're starting from step A. If someone is a mamzer, he has a limited capacity of who he can marry. But there is a way to get his kids out of this continuum of even 10 generations later, because if one child's mamzer, you go on. Now, that's all ABC so far. What's fascinating is this. The Baal HaTurim, author of the Torah, as we've discussed many times before, he has a codex, if that's the right word, of this interesting things that he writes in the Torah. Not in his long Torah on Halacha, not in his, he has a pirush on the Torah called the Torah Arav, but in his Baal HaTurim, he puts codes in there. He tells you this word appears in three other places, its connection, the acronym spells this. It's just interesting stuff. And over the years, we've quoted different ones. Here he says a fascinating idea. Wild, hard to understand. We will discuss that tonight. And he says, as part of the thing is breaking codes, why is the pasuk? We were the thought of this. Why is the pasuk number two discussing a named human being not marrying someone placed next to the moms and not marrying someone? Like, is there a connection between the two? Most of us would say the connection is yes, they both cannot halachically marry the normal people. He says, no, that's an easy one. I got a better one for you. And he says like this. He says, because it's known that a mamzer cannot produce children. Hashem does not allow a mamzer to produce children. He writes, why is a mamzer written next to the main person from Pasuk 2? Because just like Pasuk 2, the guy physically cannot have children. That's what happens in the situation of crushed and severed organs. Oh, by the way, mamzer can't have a child with one. What's the obvious question, Eliezer? What is the most obvious question?
Of course, they can physically have a cut child.
And the pasuk says what? A mamzer shall enter the congregation, even the 10th generation.
So obviously they're having children.
Even the 10th generation. The same pasuk that the Baal HaTurim is discussing. He literally is saying that you don't know why the pasuk put next to each other, because I'm telling you why you can't have a child. The rabbi, Baal HaTurim lived in the 1300s. The rabbi said, wait a minute, what do you mean a mamzer cannot produce a child? The pasuk openly states, the same pasuk. He's interpreting this pasuk, and it says, by the way, even 10th generation. You know what that means? He's producing 10 generations. Mind-blowing question on the Baal HaTurim.
Well, they meant the Jewish child. I mean, the Jewish child that's not a mamzer.
I don't know what that's supposed to be. That's not even.
You can't produce a child, a Jewish child. That's what they mean.
Well, you're saying you can't produce a child that's not a mamzer. That's not what he writes. I hear what you're saying, but that's not what he writes. I saw Safaya did not have Baal HaTurim there. When I looked quickly today, it doesn't have this. I haven't showed the inside. So that is the question. We have a Baal HaTurim, which is fascinating. And we have a question about Baal HaTurim, which is just mind-blowing. So we're going to come up with different approaches.
Let me ask you. So let's say someone's playing baseball and the ball hit in such a way where both their testicles are out of commission.
Yes.
That means that Jewish person can't get married?
He can get married, but he can't marry a regular Jewish girl from regular lineage. Correct. So he can marry a convert. He can marry certain people, but he is limited.
He can marry a convert.
Yes. Because a convert, not for now, but a convert is not considered part of the congregation of Hashem. Doesn't really mean that. Obviously, every convert's obligated in all mitzvahs. But what's called congregation, it's a whole separate conversation for now. A convert doesn't have what's called the congregation quality. Because of that quality, he can marry certain people that can't marry congregation people. Yes. If you do not have to necessarily be born maimed, but you can become maimed later on. Moms, you are born that way.
But if you're already married, you have to divorce your wife.
I mean, you didn't realize.
No. Oh. No, you married 20 years with kids and everything, and then you get crushed. Organs. Yeah. You got a divorce?
No, because you're already married.
Right. I do but not.
It doesn't say question. You're not allowed to marry. So then you get
that. I'm embarrassed because I don't know this offhand. I'm pretty sure this Gemara is saying that you can't. I think you can stay married, but it's a good question. Right.
Okay.
So not answer that. It's a good question.
Because
it's got to be open, Gemara. I don't know why I don't have it
open. I mean, that would be insult injury.
Right. We did discuss years ago that a woman who's married to a Kohen and she's violated, they got to get divorced. There are times we will break up marriages. Not easy, but at times we once discussed that years ago.
Can he say I'm?
No.
No. This is not lately. This is laws that don't apply lately because.
No. Don't drive home tonight with me. No. These are practical laws. And years ago, I was young. There was a story going around. Doesn't mean it was true, but there was a story going around that a certain couple got divorced and they claimed that was the reason. Doesn't mean that's what happened, by the way. But that was the rumor.
Say he's renouncing his
claim. That's what I meant. Can you renounce his claim? That's what I meant.
Can you take back what I thought you were asking? Something else?
Renounce? Can you renounce? You can't renounce. How do
yes.
you renounce?
Yes. So there is. That's excellent. Another question. We'll go off topic for a minute. Now there was a famous rabbi in Philadelphia going back a while, decades, and he held that nowadays this is the next statement is true. How far you take it? He took. Others don't. Most don't. Almost no one does. The concept of who a Kohen is today, in Gemara terms, is not absolute. It's called chazaka. Chazaka in English is just, what the word of chazaka in English is?
A strength.
Chazaka means that's it, but we go with it. That's the way it is.
Because it's what it was before. So
because your
no
father
change.
Says he's a Kohen. But in reality, there's no absolute proof, almost never, that the Kohanim today that are walking around are actually Kohanim. We discussed recently, I was on video, I think, even I'll pull up the link, that certain rabbis had a thing. When do we need a Kohen? You have to, the real law is if someone has a firstborn son, that's cool. And he's not a Kohen Yisrael, whatever under circumstances, he has to be Pidyon Aben. He has to redeem the son with a Kohen. In some circles, and that's giving 5 silver coins, in some circles, they would go around every Kohen they met over the course of a lifetime and give them 5 silver coins because they never really were sure if one got if Kohen, one was really a Kohen, 2 was really a Kohen, 3 was really, it's never really sure who's really a Kohen until they claimed the Vilna Gaon said the Rappaport family. So if there's Rappaports listening, they'll be very excited. The Rappaport family officially is. They have the contract, the ancestry lineage piece of paper that goes back to 3,000 years. But most Kohanim do not. So there is a concept in Judaism that Kohanim are not necessarily real Kohanim for certain things. Now, we treat them that way. First Aliyah, the guy gets called up because he says he's a Kohen. Call him up right away. There are many areas where we do treat the guy as a Kohen. So the question, at what point now can you stop playing games? So me deciding to give everyone $5 extra? That's on me. I in law, I probably gave the first guy and I'm good to go. But okay, now there is a Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, a legendary Rabbi Yehuda Chassid that says that they were once on Har HaBayis. I think I said this also once. They were once on Har HaBayis, right next to the it was one of the 1200s, and they said that if you bring 300 Kahanim to the Har Maria right now, the Messianic revelation occurs. So the rabbi was all excited. Easy way out, let's do it. And he got all the Kahanim together and they came and nothing happens. And he turns to the Owen Avi and says, hey, I mean, I can count. So like, what's wrong here? And he laughed. He says, 80%+ of these people are not Kahanim. And these are the people registered as Kahanim. So there is this thing that Kahanim today is called a Chazaka. So some rabbis want to say, oh, it's only a Chazaka, and we're only treating you a certain way based on, we'll give you the first Aliyah, we'll give you some extra tithing here and there, but we're not really sure. So maybe you can potentially renounce it when you want to marry a divorcee. This rabbi used to do it. Not accept. Most rabbis are fire against this. Most rabbis do not believe that you could pick and choose this thing. But there are some that said, based on the fact that today's Kahanim are not really straight, for sure, not 100% proof, therefore they'll allow. Now, that would mean, which Rav Moshe Feinstein did, we said earlier on the tape, that there was a guy in there to throw, but this is a specific case. We're way off topic tonight. Guy in there to throw, Rabbi Greenblatt said over this story recently. If you remind me, I'll try to find the video and send it out. And he said there was a guy in there to throw, and he divorced his wife. A Cohen cannot marry a divorcee, including his own ex. A regular Yisrael can marry his own ex. Cohen's out. So in general, the Gemara discusses, just finished the Daf Yomi. When it comes to a get of a Cohen, we make a different type of get officially, because you want to stall the process. We want to tell the guy, listen, there's no back. Once you divorce, you cannot take her back. That's it. A regular Yisrael can take his ex-wife back as long as she's married to him. So there was this Cohen, and he's a Baal Tshuva, and he was married. A Cohen's limited who he can marry also. Cohen has to marry a girl who was never with a non-Jew, as an example. So there was this guy who was a Baal Tshuva, and he didn't know this halacha, and then he found out he was married to this woman, and she was with a non-Jew beforehand. That's why Kahanim have a difficult time in the religious circles. If they take a girl who went to some college and was having a good time, it becomes a question. So this guy was all broken up. He was in there to stroll, going back years ago, and he went to the Gedolim, and they listened. I don't know. So one of the Gedolim told him, you know what? Get on a plane. You're all broken up. You don't want to divorce his wife. You love his wife. Love his kids. But I'm a Kohen, and she had this thing. What am I going to do? Go to Rav Moshe. And the guy came to Rav Moshe, and he was embarrassed. He didn't want to walk to Rav Moshe the whole night. So he came to Rav Moshe and says, I want to speak to you alone. Rav Moshe, you know, Rav Moshe alone was like, nobody could fuck Rav Moshe. And this guy's really told him. So he comes in and Rav Moshe, you want to go, okay, so he's not telling about this. He's telling all this theory he came up with in the last 2 weeks. All this nonsense he's coming up with. He's talking to Rav Moshe about this. And then in between, at one point, he slips in. Oh, by the way, you know, I'm a client and my wife had this thing. I don't divorce my wife. Obviously, Rav Moshe realized everything changed beyond me. Right. And Rav Moshe turned to the guy and says, your father was religious? He says, no, I'm a Baal Tshuva. You don't believe your father. You don't have to believe your father, he says, he's a client. Now, that's not a normal Kohen whose whole family is religious all the way up. So if a normal Kohen is religious all the way up, then the question, will we consider him a real Kohen? Does he have a real contract? But as a Baal Tshuva, Rav Moshe said to the guy right away, no problem. And then the guy was like, oh, thank you. Let me go back to what I talked to you about that Tosfos. Very interesting story. But Rav Moshe had the guts, as you said a few minutes ago, to say, oh, you don't trust your father. It's such a statement. It's a very extreme thing. But if that's going on someone who was born not religious, you don't trust your father. Your father's not religious, loses his rights, such a thing. I'm not saying that anyone who's Baal Tshuva tells his father, I don't believe anything he's saying. It's a specific case Rav Moshe had and gave this thing. But again, so we have now, I don't know how we got to this Kohen part. Oh, so you wonder about already when he was already married. So already married on a Kohen, you would make some divorces. I think on the moms you would force a divorce, but I'm not sure about the person's name. I got to look it up. That's a good question. So we have now this question. Why is the Baal Turim saying that the moms don't have kids? Come on, buddy. The moms don't have kids. What are you talking about? Now, just for the record, the Gemara says that when it comes to the mitzvah of procreation, mitzvah pruvu, mitzvah number one on some listings. You know, this one, how you list the 613. The Rambam's listing, based on the parshas, Sefer Chinuch, the first mitzvah, the first of the 613 is procreation. Now, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of procreation, one has to have a boy and a girl, according to the simple one. And one has to have a boy and a girl who are capable of having children. Someone marries someone who has never a child who's not incapable, physically incapable of having a child, that child does not count toward the mitzvah. You have to have more children based on that act. Right? Now, the Shulchan Aruch rules, which we would say obviously, that if someone has a mamza, someone had a mamza kid, should have had that mamza kid, but if he does, he's your mitzvah approval, he fulfills his mitzvah. Clearly, the Rambam is going to learn that a mamza is capable of having a child. Clearly. Which again, we're saying the pasuk says. So we got to figure out what the Baal Turim is saying. The Baal Turim is saying the reason why we take a mamza is next to the guy whose maimed is because but one of the kids, we said it's impossible. We can't say the Baal Turim made a basic mistake. This is too naive. So we're going to go with a couple of approaches. First approach, I don't expect you to guess, based on an entire different thing. It's a legendary medrash. Hard to find earlier sources, but there are many sources that talk about it. Shlomo HaMelech quotes it, so it's real serious. He said this. In reality, a person who's a mamzer, born from this relationship, absolutely can have a child. That's how it was set up, the system originally. It happens to be at a certain point in time. It seems like Ezra HaSeifer, when the communities were now intermixed based on the exile of the 7 years, and now they weren't sure who was real, I'm going to call it blue blood, and who's not blue blood, right? That type of stuff. So the rabbis got together, and they made, I'm going to Americanize, they made a seance, and in the seance they decided that from here on forth, we don't want this to continue. We don't want to be unsure who's who. Mamzerim cannot have children. So, of course, when the Torah is telling you about 10 generations, that's going in the way the nature of the world was set up. Absolutely. With Baal Tzur said, by the way, you do know that that seance that occurred, that the rabbis in the time of Ezra, and I'll be telling the rabbis, it's the being, it's the prophet. When the prophets got together, and in order to cleanse the society, they had a prayer, and they were accepted this prayer. Therefore, nowadays, that would make sense why the Torah originally put it together also. The Torah tells this is going to happen futuristically. Now, just in case, we said a long time ago, with the ick factor to no end, but we said years ago that the Talmud says, we're going based on Talmud, that in reality, we'll keep this as PG as possible, but in reality, at what point in time, it was a natural desire for people, or I don't know the word desire, but I'm saying yes, desire, but if you don't want the word substitute for something else, it was a natural desire for people to have relations with their own sisters and cousins. All the old kings would marry sisters and cousins and stuff like that. At what point did that stop? So I don't know what the Goyish world holds. But this is a Gemara.
Sisters and cousins are two different.
Two different worlds.
Cousins are kosher, yes. According to
Jewish. Cousins are being married.
Sisters are never kosher. Cousins are always kosher.
Cousins are married.
Yes, so you just combine them, but they're not really combined.
Okay, I was hoping this will divide Charles. Yeah. But yes, the Gemara says this, that there was a certain time in the world, I think it's Samach Tes in Yom, 69, that there was a certain time in the world that the idolatry was just too powerful, and everyone was failing. The world was failing. So the rabbis got together. They made a seance. I'm using the American word again. They said, listen, we got to abolish this inclination. And a fire came out. We discussed on Hanukkah a couple years ago. And a fire came out of the Kutcher. And at that moment in time, there was no more tremendous desire. You go to the Far East, but overall, you don't have major idolatry in the classic sense in our world today. It says, by the way, God said the world's got to fit and be balanced. To that moment, God took away a tremendous level of prophecy as well. So the prophecy of the world, most people don't have prophecy today on any real level. I would say all people don't have it on a real level. No prophecy, no idolatry. Yin-yang, it all fit in well. The rabbi said, well, we got power here. You know what? That's a good idea. You have to find another place later. The rabbi said, you know what? We're going to now abolish immorality. That's the next problem. Let's get rid of everything here. We're on fire here. And the rabbis did the seance. And guess what? No desires occurred. And the rabbis realized, looking around, nothing exists. You want to know what the world coming to an end on global warming means? No animals were procreating. No humans. They realized within 3 days, I think if I remember it says 3 days, that they realized, hold it, this is not the proper approach. We got to get back. We got to take this back. So they had to do a reverse seance. Very difficult to do. We got to bother God. So they did a reverse seance. I said, okay, but, well, we got to get the desire back in here. The world's got to be populated. And they said, you know what? But when we get the reverse seance back, we're going to make it that people have no desire for the siblings. Now, if you read that Gemara as simple as it is, that means at one point, I said cousins, but at one point, there was people having a natural, there was a desire for siblings. Incest.
Commonplace.
And now, we live in this world now, it makes perfect sense to us. I don't know how much you're going to cut out of this editing ticket. But in reality, you have to know why it would work that way. Why would a guy be attracted to a woman who's not his genetic sister, but yes, attracted, but not attracted to this boy, the model, pick the most famous models in the world. Their brothers are not, we assume, in 99% of the cases, are not attracted to their sisters. This is the most beautiful woman in the world, not attracted. Yet, they'll have weird cases once in a while, especially now when these guys are all finding out they have 75 siblings because the parents will do it with the father was getting paid $8 a thing to have multiple kids back then, or a doctor was doing something illegal, right? And once in a rare blue moon, you have two people meeting up and finding out the symptoms. They were attracted. So how do you define the parameters of what someone's attracted to a sibling or not? And our Gemara, we have it that the rabbi said it really should be a normal thing, and we abolish it. So that would mean, makes sense, they have the right to abolish certain things in the world. They also abolish the idea, for a certain amount of time, the mamzerim having children. So the mamzerim, when the Torah writes it, the mamzerim are telling you, even 10 generations. The rabbis came, according to the legend, the rabbis not prophets, Ezra. The prophets came along later on and said, you know what? Let's stop this right now. We can't handle it because we don't want moms ever running around. Remember, that gene gets in there. That one mom that no one knows about 800 years ago, we might have a third of the population right now that again, they're legally married, but that disqualification is being carried on. They didn't want that. So in order to avoid that, okay. So that's for answer number one to explain the Baal Turim. It's an interesting way to explain the Baal Turim. Now there's the second one.
But the only reason why people would marry and would be attracted to their relatives because of seclusion.
Possible.
Because back then society was closed for it. The tribe, could be. The 12 tribes, you wasn't marrying outside of the tribe.
I am.
So now what happened?
But also, you lived on your town, and
that's why
six sisters,
you can't marry your mom,
right?
Monty Python.
Right.
My grandparents lived in a part of Iran that was very religious and persecuted.
Right.
And the Muslims would set them up with non-Jews.
Wow.
So, in order to prevent that from happening, he would set them up with.
I actually know another guy that told me this one.
So my grandparents are first cousins. The neighbors were coming and saying, oh, your daughter's...
Right, she's taken her. She's married her. She's gay.
Set them up before they even... Before right.
They're cousins is even done nowadays. Because this, the age factor is more important. Correct. The age factor is more important. Why, and the Muslims, for some reason...
To protect the Jew.
Yes, of course.
The blue blood, if that's the right word to use, yeah. Right? Yeah, you got to do it. You got to do it. 100%. Now, number two, it's up. So we have this. Here's where it's going to be more interesting. There's a Gemara that says like this. When the Gemara discusses in Yevamos 78b, when the Gemara discusses the concept of the Mishnah, Mamzerim are asa forever. All generations, like we said. Mamzerim are ineligible for marriage for all time, even 10 generations later. Now the Gemara says, it's interesting, when the Gemara has a question, wait a second, do Mamzerim actually have children? This Baal Turim, and we thought, well, the Gemara seems to be asking this question. The Gemara says, do they have even a kid? And the Gemara says, they have to understand how it goes. It says, they're ineligible, and their ineligibility is all time. Hold on. A little further here. They have, that's good. Goes like this. Rabbi Leza asks, what's the legal position? Hold on. Okay. Did we not learn if they're ineligible for all time, do they have children or not have children? Here goes Abzeri's response. Abzeri replies, it is explained to me, Rabbi Yehuda, that there's three levels of mamzerim. Unbelievable. There's what he says is called a known mamzer. Everyone knows. A known mamzer can have children and live forever. Why? Makes sense. Because always we said we don't want the mamzerim running around. We don't want them contaminating society. That's why we're contamination, because no one knew who they were. If they're known, who cares? So if they're known, they're going to have kids, no problem. There are those who are not known, they don't survive. It seems to me they die within 30 days, 12 months, little kids. They don't go to. Why? Because those are dangerous society. And then there's a third one, open tomorrow. They're partly known and partly unknown. They survive for three generations. 3 generations, we're getting nervous, people are going to forget that. Means they could have kids and grandchildren, but no more than that. Or known mamzer can go on as long as they know. What's wild is here, I have a famous joke that I made up. That the halacha says, not a joke, I don't know why no one says it. The halacha says that when there's a child, the mamzer, he has to have a bris milah, obviously. But if the Rama brings down that at the circumcision, they're supposed to make an announcement that this child, scarlet letter, that's a phrase, is supposed to make an announcement that this kid's a mom. The simple explanation is going to be why, to let it be known, so people should know about the marriage, stuff like this. There's a famous story of Blazer Silva, the grand rabbi from the 1950s in America, 60s, 70s. Blazer Silva was once walked into a bris and asked to speak. They said, okay, regular family. He got up and said, my speech is, this child's a mom. Obviously, the worst killer of the mood of speech of all time, right? You imagine the host, like, that's not exactly what I wanted my rabbi to say. I don't know if the husband even knew. Maybe only the wife knew. But the halacha says you're supposed to announce it. Because the mom... No, the halacha is announced.
Ooh.
Now, the halacha to announce it is not to protect society. My based on this Gemara, I'll have his own answer. The halacha is to protect the baby. Because if the baby's an unknown mamzer and the kid's 8 days old having a bris, we just said what's going to happen. He's going to last another 21 days.
I see.
A year.
To have kids.
The announcement's a plus to the kid's life. This is my take on the story. I don't know. But there's a difference between a known mamzer and not known mamzer. Open Gemara. Halacha as well. Maybe you can say very simple. when the Balaturim is talking about, when the Pasuk says it's 10 generations of Mamzerim, the Pasuk talking about known Mamzerim. Yeah, they go on forever. When the Balaturim says, by the way, you know why it's placed next to the main child? Because they're never going to have kids. They're never going to survive. We say, well, yeah, that's the unknown Mamzer. Second answer to explain the Balaturim. Either it's going on Torah version and Rabbi version, what was created later, or no, different types of Mamzer. No Mamzer has kids. Unknown Mamzerim don't. Now, there is a famous Ramah, as I said before. So we'll stop here. We'll go by to maybe this next week. We'll continue it. But anyway, that it is something to know about. It was a pleasure. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed it.